Hi, I'm Rosie Perez, and this is WBAI, listener-supported non-commercial radio in New York.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Glad you could join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for May 20th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we welcome Artis Burney from Mississippi. He's a poet, former radio announcer, and community organizer. We're going to hear about activism at the shareholder meeting of the Southern Company in Atlanta, Georgia.
We try to start every show with good news. The California Senate on Monday voted 27-7 in favor of a resolution formally endorsing the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty proposal, calling on President Biden to support Pacific nations moving ahead with seeking a negotiating mandate. This was the resolution's first major legislative hurdle. It will go to the State Assembly later this year for a final vote. Co-sponsored by the Indigenous Environmental Network, Stand.Earth, the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty Initiative, and Safe Cities, the resolution supports a global plan to create the missing framework for managing fossil fuel production. It will first stop expansion and then carefully phase out coal, oil, and gas fairly and quickly. It also looks to protect the most affected workers and the local government services through this transition to abundant and clean renewable energy. To be successful in making change, of course, various levels of government must do more than just pass resolutions. They must back up their calls with actions to phase out coal, oil, and gas production within their own jurisdiction. To date, more than 90 governments globally have advocated for a fossil fuel treaty. On May 11th, the Kingdom of Tonga formally joined the growing group of nation states seeking a negotiating mandate for a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty.
We have great information about solar energy potential from the roofs of warehouses and distribution centers. Tune in next week for more information on this.
Last week, we had a field trip to Governor's Island, led by Roger Manning of MAGIC, Metro Area Governor's Island Coalition. What a beautiful day we had, from the ferry ride over to the nature and history of the island. Roger introduced us to some of the environmental activists who maintain a presence on the island, as well as the beekeepers who not only maintain two honeybee hives, but also are concerned about native species of bees, such as the squash bee, without whom squash would not be pollinated. The bee and the squash evolved together. Squash has extra large pollen grains, and squash bees have extra large hairs on their body to pick up the pollen.
After taking the ferry, which is free on weekend mornings, we met Roger for a walking tour of the island. We started on the parade ground, walked through Nolan Park. Lots of nonprofits have space in the historic houses there. We stopped by New York City Audubon, which has a list of the birds seen the previous week. Since it was migration season, it was a long list. 25 to 30 species of birds breed there. The Billion Oyster Project has a great display, and we're very interested to learn about the fight against the proposed overdevelopment. We passed the Yard, an amazing playground for kids only. A sign read, "Your kids will do fine without advice or suggestions." Mm-hmm. And Roger introduced us to people who are recycling plastic waste, including detergent containers. They shred post-consumer plastic collected by the city of New York that may otherwise be landfilled, melt it and mold it into products using only the attached solar panels for power. The microfactory is an off-grid manufacturing operation contained in a portable shipping container that produces no toxins, pollutants, nor waste.
When the BP blowout in the Gulf of Mexico happened in 2010, spreading more than 200 million gallons of crude oil throughout the Gulf waters and onto the beaches, I interviewed some Louisiana environmentalists, one of whom could not talk to me when I tried to do a follow-up 1 year later. I learned several things by doing that show. One thing I found out is that there is a microbe that digests oil. I later learned that oil companies use the presence of that microbe to know where to drill. The microbe lives only in warm environments, so it couldn't be used for the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska, for example. I can't help but wonder if any genetic modification is being attempted to make it live in colder environments. But if it mutates more and gets out, it could be one of the plastic-eating microbes that would, quote, destroy modern civilization that so many people fear. Imagine everything made of plastic being eaten by invisible microbes. I also learned that there is an oil spill of some kind in the Gulf of Mexico about every 2 weeks. There are thousands of oil rigs out there. I also learned that the oil companies have ruined the ecosystem and economy so much that there are very few other jobs, meaning people have to work for oil companies and can't do or say anything to jeopardize their jobs. The pollution and oil-dominated economy explains why there is almost no shore or beach recreation economy along the Gulf Coast. Louisiana and other Gulf of Mexico beaches are not used for recreation the way New Jersey and New York beaches are. They don't have a Coney Island or an Atlantic City or an Asbury Park. A casino is about the best they can do. The oil spills also smell bad.
Joshua Rapp Learn wrote an article with more information for Science News Magazine. Those microbes didn't eat all the oil washing on shore. The oil on shore is killing plants that would have kept the beaches from eroding. There's more erosion from small storms now than there was from Hurricane Katrina, which is almost 5 years before the BP blowout. So either the microbes don't work as well as we were led to believe, or the constant oil spills are overtaxing the critters, where the microbes can't deal with 200 million gallons and they can't reproduce enough to keep up, even though they have short generation spans. We link to the Science News article on our website, www.ecoradio.org. Here is Artis Burney, our guest today, with a powerful spoken word piece.
Of the dirty. The rest of the South ain't got it like this. Last up to the podium, Mississippi in this. I mean, just the name alone is sending chills down your spine. I can't stand her sometimes, but she mine. You see, some cats move away and go soft in the city. Your hardest wouldn't last 10 minutes in Mississippi. We got dirty cops, we got crooked judges, we got black on black crime. And don't get it twisted, the Klan is still alive. My name is Artis Romero, and today I'm representing Mississippi. Mississippi. Now dig this. A big hole in the earth leaks oil into the Gulf. It pushes out all the oxygen and kills all the fish and stuff. It evaporates into rain clouds and it falls from the sky and then it rains on the earth. And what else dies? Now, I'm not the smartest brother in the world, and I don't pretend to be. But the obvious is just something that you can't get past me. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to put some things on your mind. I know you get busy with the bills and the babies, but we got to slow it down and think sometimes. We live in water bodies on the water planet, so water should be on our mind. We can't trust it coming out of the faucet. We can't trust it falling out of the sky. And we haven't really talked about it until now. That is until Flint got poisoned and New Orleans damn near drowned. And then somebody echoes your idea without you having to say it out loud. They caught a glimpse of the future. They saw the crowds. They say God will it and the creek don't rise. Well, last year the creek took my house. You try and tell me that was God outside? Is the earth gonna have to kill us in order to get our attention? Because imagine Katrina in the middle of a pandemic. You're safe here, but in that scenario we won't be. Because imagine water on top of disease. We know from experience that no matter what Kanye West says on TV, America will prove once again how it really feels about you and me. You see, you're safe here. So now imagine a force field powered by pure love and light, made of music and metaphors that caress you real tight. It won't take away your problems, it doesn't work that way, but it will give you a place to catch your breath and pray. You're safe here. You have to find the energy that the ancestors gave you deep in your soul, because the wicked doesn't rest, and there's revolution tomorrow. It's a good thing we have instruments and equipment on the truck. If not, the police will be trying to break this gathering of black people up. But you're safe here. You're safe here. You're safe here.
That was Artis Burney. You'll hear more from him later.
Almost half of all the satellites orbiting Earth are from private companies, and SpaceX has most of those. The wildlife of the Boca Chica State Park and Lower Rio Grande National Wildlife Refuge has been seriously harmed ever since SpaceX landed there in 2014. But it wasn't until the explosion of the first launch of the Starship rocket on April 20th of this year, which sent a massive amount of debris into Boca Chica and surrounding areas, that their actions made national news. The Center for Biodiversity has an article and a petition. We urge you to read the article and think about what the privatization of outer space is doing to the air, water, and wildlife. The privatization allows for much less transparency. Government actions and records are public, but private actors hide their misdeeds as undiscoverable trade secrets.
As we were preparing this show, we saw a new article published by Bill Wolf with the long title, quote, DEP rules promote expansion of gas storage and will increase greenhouse gas emissions, ignore and contradict limits of Global Warming Response Act. Legislature must exercise its constitutional veto power, end quote. The New Jersey Constitution gives the state legislature authority to veto administrative regulations that they find inconsistent with the intent of the laws they pass authorizing those regulations. Most recently, that power was used to seek a veto of the Christie DEP's proposed rollbacks of the Highland Septic Density Standards and the DEP flood hazard rules that eliminated stream buffer protections. It is time to veto again. As on Monday, May 1st, 2023, the Murphy DEP adopted major new regulations to allow operation and expanded storage of methane in underground caverns, allowing greenhouse gas emissions not only to continue, but to increase. There is no consideration of attaining the emission reduction limits of the New Jersey Global Warming Response Act. In fact, emissions are not even required to be counted or included in an emissions inventory.
On May 6th, Bill Wolf wrote to Senator Bob Smith, chairman of the Senate Environment Committee, Senator Greenstein, and Assemblyman McKeon, seeking their support for the passage of a joint resolution declaring the DEP rules inconsistent with legislative intent, with a copy to five statewide environmental groups. He sees this as a test of their leadership, stating that if they are unwilling to take on the gas industry and a fellow Democratic governor, then they are not serious about real actions to address the climate emergency. We agree.
Speaking of New Jersey, Governor Murphy recently signed legislation to recognize the boss's birthday as a holiday. No, not George Norcross, and certainly not George Steinbrenner. Someone much more in tune with we the people. September 23rd is now Bruce Springsteen Day in the Garden State. Yay!
Coming up is our discussion with artist Bernie. But now here is a classic recording of Pete Seeger singing a song written by Les Rice, a New York State apple farmer and one-time president of the Ulster County chapter of the Farmers Union. Like most small farmers, he was getting entirely squeezed by the big companies which sold him all his fertilizer, insecticide, and equipment, and the big companies that dictated to him the prices he would get for his produce. Out of that squeeze in the late 40s came Banks of Marble, just as sadly true today as it was then.
I've traveled around this country from shore shining shore. It really made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the weary farmer a plowing sod and loam. I heard the auction hammer just a knocking down his home. Are made of marble with a guard at every door, and the bolts are stuffed with silver that the farmer sweated for. I've seen the seamen standing idly by the shore, I heard their bosses saying, got no work for you no more. But the banks are made of marble with a guard at every door, and the vaults are stuffed with silver that the seamen sweated for. I've seen the weary miner scrubbing coal dust from his back, and I've heard his children crying, got no coal to heat the shack. But the banks are made of marble with a guard at every door, and the vaults are stuffed with silver that the miner sweated for. I've seen my brothers working throughout this mighty land. I prayed we'd get together and together make a stand. Then we might own those banks of marble with a guard at every door, and we would share those vaults of silver that we have sweated for.
That was Pete Seeger singing Les Rice's song, Banks of Marble.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale. Artist Bernie from Arm in Arm for Climate will join us in just a few minutes. First, though, a reminder of how important it is to Ecologic and WBAI that listeners contribute.
Ecologic serves you and the community with many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We don't take corporate donations, which is why you are so important to us. WBAI continues only because of listeners like you, and we have to ask for your help, or how would you know what we need? Ecologic brings you actions that you can take, rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars. It's all important. Not all of us can get to remote actions, but there are many ways to support, and that includes supporting WBAI and Ecologic so that we can continue to bring you activists, journalists, eyewitnesses, and more, along with environmental music and artists. Please donate to WBAI and say that you're donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you want. You can find all of our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org. By the way, leave off the www.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, more. Help us to help community groups get the word out.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe and the water we drink and the creatures with whom we share this planet. Indigenous folks acknowledge them all as relatives.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We call out bad actions and we celebrate positive steps. We watch for actions to back up statements, and we call out empty rhetoric and greenwashing. Please support us. We really hope that you will help WBAI and the Pacifica Network. You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Annual membership in WBAI is just $25, so join us as a voting member, or even better, as a sustaining BAI buddy for just $10 or $15 or more a month. Just making any donation today lets us know that you're listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show. Call 212-209-2950.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Ken has been hosting Ecologic on BAI for more than 20 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics. And some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. On the website ecologic.wbai.org, we have more than 25 items from which you can choose, all kinds of topics. They make great gifts, as well as treats for yourself. Or maybe you could find just $10 a month, or more, or a big donation. But $10 a month will make you a sustaining BAI buddy. Any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
And now you'll hear from our guest, Artist Bernie. Welcome, Artist. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Artist Bernie. I'm from Van Cleef, Mississippi. And I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Now, what is Arm in Arm for Climate doing in Atlanta?
Oh man, we're making good trouble. we're raising awareness about Southern Company, Mississippi Power, Georgia Power, and Alabama Power, about their predatory business practices and how they are polluting the environment and just making a mess of communities around the region.
Their shareholders,
especially in my area,
next week. Yes, and you'll be there.
I will be there.
Now, they own three utilities that are statewide?
That's right. Mississippi Power, Alabama Power, and Georgia Power.
Well, that's a lot of power, both political and economic.
I guess
they take advantage of that political power, don't they?
Yeah, and that's why it's so hard to to stand up against these cats, because you know, if you we try to publish op-eds in a local newspaper, the local faves give money to the local newspaper, and the local newspaper won't accuse us of attacking this big company. Whenever we find out that they gave the owner of the CEO of Mississippi Power like some sort of a business person of the year, a citizen of the year award last year. The same thing with radio. You know, I wish we had a listener-owned radio like you guys have, because in our market, the energy companies, especially Southern companies, buy out all the time. You hear commercials on the radio about, here's five ways to save on your energy bill. But they don't have the conversation about the real reason why your energy bill is going up. They make it seem like it. They make the consumer think it's their fault.
Southern Company is the owner of the Vogtle nuclear power plants, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and our listeners have heard us talk about how they have overrun their costs. They took forever to get built. And like every nuclear power, they create radioactive waste that we don't know what to do with.
And we have another Southern Company mess in Mississippi at Kemper County. I think the budget might have started at the initial budget for this construction, for it's a coal burning plant, was I think like $4 billion, and then about 10 years later they still weren't finished and they had to tear it down and start over, and then
it's
to $14 billion.
And of course they get the ratepayer to cover a whole lot of that, right?
That's right.
That's where that political power comes in. They get the state to approve any rate hike that they ask for.
That's right. That's right. The EPA, we have an issue here in Jackson County, Mississippi. I live on the Gulf Coast in Jackson County, Mississippi. And we have Plant Daniels here. Plant Daniels, by Southern Company, has managed to put five times the amount of the legal amount of lithium in the water, in the ground, in the air. And EPA tried to hold them accountable, and Southern Company turned around and sued the EPA, and then paid the attorney bills by raising customer rates.
And lithium is not exactly healthy for people. I mean, it is used as a drug in some cases, but if you're not sick with that,
you get the side effects, and you're not getting any benefits.
Yeah.
That's right. And now we have, you know, there's an issue now with, and you can see it in the community. There's, you know, people, especially children, walking around with these mental disorders that they can't quite put a finger on, you know, having trouble focusing in conversation and in classes. It's horrible. I mean, but, you know, that's the Southern Company way. That's how they do business.
Any effect like that is going to hit the children and you know, the smallest people hardest, because the dose is bigger in a smaller body.
Right.
And, you know, Con Ed, most of their ex-workers end up working for the Public Service Commission that approves or denies rate increases. So they give rate increases to their old company. And this is clearly nationwide, since it happens in your part of the country as well.
Yes.
I guess New York is lucky that we have a WBAI, and we have several WBAI affiliates throughout the state that are shining a light on whenever they try to do something. So they have to dial it back a little bit.
Right.
You guys don't have that advantage, do you? They never have to dial it back.
No, we don't. And I thought that I had a – I thought when I first started in radio – I was a radio announcer for about 20 years. And whenever I started in radio, I worked at what was an independent black-owned radio station. I'm using my quotation mark fingers. but during that time, I saw that company take money from Southern Company, BP, other – big oil energy companies to keep quiet about topics. And we had a conversation show during the daytime, you know, but we weren't allowed to talk about those things. I actually got in trouble. It led to me being let go by the station also. During the BP oil spill, that poem that you played similar to the one that earlier, BP gave us some money and said they were working on PR. I got a memo from from the owner of the station to be quiet and go easy on them, and I didn't, and I got canned.
Yeah, well, I can see the station owners caught in the middle. They need the advertising to keep the lights on and the broadcast going.
That's right.
Yeah. So no matter what they may feel personally, they're stuck with censoring the airwaves, basically.
That's right. They're certainly not a WBAI, because they have restrictions. There is no, we have restrictions on what we can talk about over the airwaves, and that just doesn't seem, I felt like doing that, I felt like I was participating in misinforming the public, because I wasn't giving them the whole story. I'd run the commercials about how to save on your energy bill, but I'd never follow up why, the real reason.
Yeah. Go
ahead.
Okay, Wednesday afternoon is the shareholder meeting of Southern Company in Atlanta. And there's rallies planned outside?
There's rallies planned outside. We are bringing people from Mississippi, Alabama, and we have people in Georgia that's going to meet us in Atlanta. And we're expecting a big crowd. And there's also going to be some conversation at the shareholder meeting.
What do you mean?
Oh, actually, at the shareholders meeting inside, we're going to be there.
Do they know that? Well, they do now, I suppose.
They do now. They do now.
Now, Atlanta, of course, on Ecologic, we've talked about Atlanta before because of Cop City and the murder of that environmentalist down there. Are you linking up with those folks?
We are. I'm sure there will be some folks from the Cop City protest there, and also we're heavy in opposing Cop City with arm in arm, and also with groups like BAM, Building a Movement, and Southern Movement Assembly, and people like that. We are heavily against Cop City. We've been protesting that for a minute.
Tell us a little bit about arm in arm.
Well, arm in arm for climate. ArmInArmForClimate.org is the full name. And arm in arm, we are seriously committed to just stopping the petrochemical build out altogether. We know that we are against the clock and we are behind, as far as, fixing our climate. And most people, the average person doesn't know about the way the energy in their community affects them and their environment. They just know that it takes a big chunk out of their paycheck, which is unfair. Right. So we're going to raise awareness about, Arm in Arm for Climate is about building a movement to push back and get rid of these big energy companies, big predatory energy companies.
Yeah, you have an even harder situation down there than we have up here, because you guys have monopoly utilities. We have theoretical competitive utilities where we can choose to get our electricity from somewhere else. The same utility runs the grid, but
yeah. We don't have any choice. You're right. We have there's a serious monopoly here, and we have this what they call I heard on the news called the Republican supermajority here, and we have a lot of issues with getting things changed here in Mississippi. There's a system in place of doing business, and with that majority, they don't want to buck the system.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Southern Company raised your electricity rates 3 or 4 times last year.
Yeah.
I should say, last year alone. I just find that amazing that they could get away with that.
They raised it for the World Games in Birmingham. They had to pay for that. They had to pay for their failed Kemper County plant and paying for attorney fees to sue the EPA, and so they kept raising our rates.
Yeah, but even the concept of our strange capitalist system is bad. Is if you're in business, you're supposed to take the risk, right? You're not
That's
supposed
right.
to get your customer to take the risk. It's
That's what? Right.
Yeah, what happened to that? I guess that's what monopoly means, right?
Yeah. And that's the only way they make money is from bills. And with the Public Service Commission, the way it is, they just raise them whenever they want. So,
it's interesting, and of course that nuclear plant. You know, you've got utilities throughout the country who tend to be pro-nuclear and anti-solar and anti-wind, and that's been going on for decades. And they are all in support of Southern Company putting a nuclear power plant in Georgia. And, you know, ignore the cost overruns. Let's not talk about cost overruns. Let's not talk about routine emissions of radiation, and let's not talk about nuclear waste. Let's just talk about how much energy you get from all that poison. That's why we talk about it up here, because Vogtle, it's the name of the plant, is something that is sort of being held as a way that they can get the nuclear power industry restarted again and ignore all the shortcomings. And so, of course, they start with a company like Southern Company because they have a monopoly and they have all those connections with politics and they can raise rates whenever they want. And so what they're doing there, it does affect everybody in the entire country because they look to Southern Company as their success story.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of nuclear, there is on Tuesday evening at 8:30 a web seminar with nuclear expert Paul Blanch talking about radioactive waste and how the NRC isn't following its own regulations. And I believe the link for that is grassrootsinfo.org and then search nuclear. They're focusing on San Onofre in California, but again, the NRC is supposed to be following its own rules, overseeing the industry, not just being the rubber stamp machine that it so often appears to be.
Wow. And Paul Blanch is a very good speaker. He's got a science background. He's got an engineering background. He's got a nuclear energy background. And when he speaks at an NRC hearing and gives his credentials, you can see the body language and the expressions on the NRC commissioners. They're like, uh-oh, and they don't know what to do because they know that he knows more than they do. And there's no way they can answer any of his questions because they're backed with so much information.
What's his brother's name again?
His name is Paul Blanch, B-L-A-N-C-H. And he started out, you know, he thought nuclear power was a good thing. And as he's learned more and more about its effects on human health and the politics of it, he's certainly anti-nuclear now. He loves the science, but he doesn't like what they do with that science.
Yeah. He's really all about making sure that the agency does what it's supposed to do. He worked at Indian Point. He's not as strongly anti-nuclear as some of us are, but he knows the science and he knows when to call BS on things.
Yeah, and he's seen what the NRC does. So, he knows the exemptions. You know, Indian Point had over 100 health and safety exemptions from the NRC. I would imagine Vogtle and Georgia will have just as many exemptions if they need them.
Right. Yeah.
The NRC doesn't want it to do anything to hurt the nuclear industry, even though they're supposed to regulate it.
Southern Company and the corporate chicanery, we've also seen a lot of actions against Citibank. It's the same corporate mentality of extract all the profit you can. And
exactly. Oh my goodness! And doesn't city sells? They sell coal to these energy companies. Is that how that works?
I'm sorry.
Well, the energy companies, when they have to spend billions to make a power plant or whatever, they have to get financing from someone. So
they go to banks like Citibank.
And say, "Give us money. We want more coal. We want more nuclear. We want more methane." They call it natural gas, but it's methane. And so the banks say, oh, yeah, sure, because they know that there is both a government guarantee and they can raise rates whenever they want. So their money is safe.
Yes.
And I think that's part of protesting at a shareholder meeting, like what you guys are doing in Atlanta, is to make people realize you can't just get anything you want, no matter what it does to the people of our state.
That's right. And we really shouldn't have a price. You know, here in Mississippi, we have this central plan. Some other places, you know, when they get ready to come in with a new facility, they always say, jobs, jobs, jobs. We're going to get jobs. Going to give you higher paying jobs than your neighbors, but then we end up spending, and I say we because I live in this community too, and I have neighbor relatives who work in these places. They end up spending that money on medical bills over the years. They end up spending that money on higher utility rates because they're not just employees, they're also customers. So, you know, it's that whole jobs, 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 money, money, money. We are going to have to find a way to break that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we got a little bit of that because when we got commercial net metering in New York State in 2008 that, you know, J.K. Canepa and I were part of, we were pushing jobs too, but we were pushing solar energy jobs. And there's a lot more jobs in solar than there is in oil, gas, coal, or nuclear. And you can't install solar panels from overseas where you have to get your fuel from all over. It's when it comes to poison power. So, you know, the jobs thing that the poison power people like to push, it's like the solar energy people tend to be, you know, small businessmen who don't have political clout. We have to be the political clout for them. Let's take some listener phone calls. Anybody who wants to talk to artists, please call 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877 and talk to artist Bernie. And when is the shareholder protest meeting? What day is that?
It's on the 24th, May 24th.
Which is Wednesday.
Wednesday.
That's right.
This coming Wednesday. And you're linking with the Cop City people. I suppose you're linking with a lot of people because everything is connected.
Oh yeah, it's all connected. We are. I mean, there's about seven organizations that are tagging along with Arm in Arm that are just on my list. And there's other people coming too. That's just from Mississippi. There's other people coming too. So it's going to be. We expect a good turnout. We expect to make a lot of noise. We expect to be seen and be heard.
Are companies like Southern Company used to that sort of thing, or are they used to working in secret?
They used to work in secret. In the community, everybody's afraid to speak against them. We organized a statewide protest in Mississippi in December. Well, not statewide. We included five counties, southern counties in Mississippi. And you know, when asking people, businesses, to participate in the protest, they understand that Southern Company is taking advantage and being disrespectful to the environment and to the community. They understand these things. They're well aware of that. But the fact that Southern Company donates money to different programs to their businesses, they have family members that work there, and so they don't want to speak up. They feel the same exact way that I do, almost. But they just don't want to say they're afraid to say anything because they're going to mess up the money.
Yeah, and I know we talked to Warren in West Virginia with West Virginia Rising, and he said, you know, in the small towns, the coal mining is, by intention, the major only employer, so that they make it impossible for people to fight back because it's their job. It's how they're putting food on the table. So,
yeah, you know, what
same
you're
thing
saying
everywhere.
It makes me realize why they felt that they could get away with murdering an environmental activist, because they got to do everything in secret before that.
That's right. That's right. So when we allow them to start murdering activists, and there's no one held accountable for that, then we have really come into a bad space. You know, because now we're literally putting profits over people. I mean, you know, we've So this company can make some money that costs somebody's life. That shouldn't even be comparable. But that's where we're going. That's where we are.
Yeah, I feel almost an epiphany when you talk about secrecy and we talk about that murder. And so what you're doing is very, very important and might very well prevent another murder.
Yes, I hope so. We certainly hope so. And it's not just that. We want the community to push back. I feel like the more we, you know, raise awareness about these kinds of things and people start following where the money goes and which candidates are supporting what, then folks can, you know, not just speak up verbally, but speak up with their votes, speak up with community actions, you know, and learn how to push back against these systems, to get taken advantage of.
Well, we have some people who want to talk to you, artists. So 212-209-2877, you're on the air.
Yeah, as far as I understand, the person you're talking about who was murdered down in Atlanta defending the Wilani Forest from becoming a cop city, which 1 inch of it still has not been built yet, I think their name was Tortuguita, and I think their birthday was the day after Earth Day. Their birthday was the day after Earth Day, and since they were the first environmentalists murdered by United States police, I have a question for all you guys. Did anybody see any signs held in the name of Tortuguita and stopping cop cities from being built everywhere on Earth Day?
Oh, wow, I did not.
Where was I on Earth Day? That's an interesting question. I know, you know, we've been talking about Tortuguita. We're appalled that, you know, I mean, we hate when this sort of thing happens in like Honduras with Berta Cáceres or all these other countries, but here now it's come home to roost. It's no longer out there. It's in our own backyard, and we can't put up with it.
Yeah.
I think that, like, somehow the news didn't get out enough. If, like, you know, the progressives didn't pick up on it, or were the progressives too scared to hold the sign for Tortuguita? I mean, you know, they were defending the forest, so it is an environmental thing.
Well, there certainly were a lot of signs for the months after it happened. Anyway, we have another caller. So thank you for your call. 212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to share what is real power, love, and the spirit. I certainly agree that, you know, there's a lot of oppression here that you're discussing. But, for instance, here on Long Island, we've had 3 weeks without rain. So we had our friend who was passed away, a Dakota woman, fly over our house. We went out in circles with our arms, and then we basically had a photograph of a water well, the Ogallala Aquifer, and we fed the spirit. And this morning we have, again, the power, the true power of love and spirit giving us rain, which we, of course, need. So with what every topic that you talk about over these past years I've been listening, it seems like we need to remember that the real power we have is the connections we rely on, and that it's through nature and love that the ideals and goals you're seeking, we will achieve through the real power, not the power of the power companies and the rest. So have a great day, and I just want to share the happiness to know that it's within our grasp. Take care.
Thank you.
It's an interesting comment, although I kept thinking about all the our thoughts and prayers are with you whenever kids get murdered in a school. So it takes more than thoughts and prayers.
Oh, more than thoughts and prayers, but working together, we can do a lot. You know,
and we have done a lot.
I think of Tim DeChristopher's putting his fingers together into a fist, not as a violent symbol, but as the power of united people. That we need to work together against these forces. We need to join up across states, across the country, and support each other.
Yeah, we do. And Southern Company here has made this issue with energy such a political topic with this supermajority we have in the state that we actually have people trying to stay loyal to their party that are actually voting against their best interest to stay loyal to a party. It's a confused customer vote, a citizen base. I don't know what to call it, but the confusion between the money, the jobs, and then the threat of being, the fear of being some kind of way punished by Southern Company, or they cut your money off if they're funding you. That's a real serious thing.
It sounds like people don't think their vote is secret.
It's not. No. You're right. You're absolutely right.
It's going to take numbers. And I think what you're doing on Wednesday in Atlanta will make people feel empowered that they don't have to cower to the politicians and the supermajority and the giant corporations because they're not alone. And I think if that's anything – everybody listening to WBAI realizes we are not alone. And so that togetherness Sally just talked about is very important.
And a solid format like this, if there was a format like Mississippi to where people could talk to each other, if there was a citizen-owned, a community-owned radio station, some more media format where citizens could talk to each other honestly and openly, we could have a lot more progress, I believe, where we are with this movement that we're going through. But whenever you're in a place where these companies control all the media, it is so hard to find out.
What about online media?
Yeah.
There must be online media down there.
Yeah, a little bit, but that's not where most folks get their nose from around here. And then even in the online media, there's still a lot of energy company influence on online media because – they could advertise it. I have a media company called Cosmic Poetry Radio, and we've been offered money to advertise by those companies. As a matter of fact, Southern Company has gifted some of our people with grants to kind of, it seems like to keep it quiet.
I just looked at the time. And the time flows quickly, especially when we have somebody like Artis with us. But it's time to wrap up. So thanks everybody for joining us this morning. For more information, go to www.arminarmforclimate.org. That's the number 4, arminarmforclimate.org, and visit us at www.ecoradio.org, ecoradio.org. We have information on a variety of environmental topics.
We've talked about Liberty State Park and the revitalization plan. Also on Wednesday, May 24th, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection will host an open house to provide details. Wednesday, May 24th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Liberty State Park, CRRNJ Terminal Building, Audrey Zapp Drive in Jersey City.
Also at Liberty State Park today, from 11 to 1, you can visit with the crew of the Golden Rule. We talked with Veterans for Peace project manager on last week's show. The boat arrived at Chelsea Piers on Thursday and will be there through May 26th. That's this coming Friday. So do take the time to at least get a glimpse from above. From shore, we've posted the schedule on our website, www.ecoradio.org. It's linked from the announcement of the May 13th show.
Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. WBAI is community radio. There are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. Engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org, leave off the www, and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We'd love to see those Ecologic BAI Buddy pledges.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your question.
We'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
Our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert. We hope Donna can join us next time. Join us every Saturday for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Check our website for details.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
$0.33 a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that 33 cents a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as 33 cents a day, $10 a month, you can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI Buddy. Be one today.
Good morning. You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York. Ecologic came to you live over listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York. Normally at 7 o'clock, you'd hear the Rick Smith Show. That is not on today. You'll be back next week. Instead, you'll hear a special edition of the Gary Knowles Show. So please, stay tuned.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Julian.